Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an ergat fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
Matt and I have been talking about privacy and the importance of using a VPN for 7 years now, literally 7 years, I believe, at least once every episode or two. It's like, hey, make sure you're running a VPN. I think it's especially important today where you have governments in the UK, other parts of Europe, all across the world, really trying to introduce digital ID and curbing speech with hate speech laws. Make sure you're protecting your privacy and shielding yourself from government surveillance as you're perusing the web. Our VPN of choice here at RHR is Obscura, is built by a Bitcoiner for Bitcoiners. Carl Dong did some very critical work for Bitcoin back in the day, but he decided to shift his focus to bring privacy to everybody with Obscura. It is a VPN that cannot log, literally by the way it's designed. A lot of VPNs will hand wave, say, we're not logging. You can't trust them. You want the VPN that cannot log. That is Obscura. Go to obscura.net. Use the code RHR for 25% off when you sign up any of their deals. Make sure you're using it, particularly if you're in one of these countries where the governments are becoming extremely censorious and targeting citizens that exhibit wrong think. You should be running a VPN. That VPN should be Obscura. Obscura.net. Code RHR. 25% off. This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR. Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. And you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It has made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like 7 a day. I drink a few a day, maybe 7 a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. Drinksote.com. That's DrinkSote.com. Use the code RHR for 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Woo, doggy. What a time to be alive.
Yo.
Yo.
Did that break?
We what? Broken?
I don't see it on Primal. Do you see it on Primal?
See it on X. Retweeted. Our future is bright. It is bright.
You like it that? Positivity.
I know. Was it inspired by my lecture at the local high school?
No, it inspired on us dumping because I dunked on Luke Grohman last week.
Yeah, well, I told you. I warned you. I said it may have been too early to take some victory laps. And yeah, I giggled earlier because I opened up the chart. We're down 6.8% since last week's episode.
On what? On gold?
On Bitcoin. In Bitcoin.
Talk buck terms.
Let's see. Custom. We're not streaming on Primal right now, right?
Yeah, Noster is not live.
Noster's not live. We're live on YouTube. I don't know. We're getting no comments. Maybe nobody's in YouTube right now.
Global contributor.
Yeah, we're live on YouTube too. We have 12 watching. Make sure you like, subscribe, hop in the chat. There they go.
Stop broadcasting. Start broadcasting.
Starting the week out with some technical difficulties.
Well, maybe it's not working. We've been on such a streak with the...
Oh, there it is.
The Noster. Did that work? I turned it off and on again.
It's working.
Nice.
Started 2 minutes ago. What is up, freaks? Thank you for bearing with our technical difficulties. We're here now. Logan is saying hi in the live chat. Where should we start?
Let's start. I was being a little bit of a dick. Like, yeah, the title is mostly because of your inspirational lesson to the youth. That was the main premise of it. So let's start with that. You this is your rival high school, I hear.
This is my rival high school. This is my third lecture I've given them. The previous two were remote. Obviously, I was living in Austin, but now having moved back to the area, I can be there in person. So yeah, this is their investment club. And the teacher who runs this was my boss at the hot dog stand. So
this is not an actual class. This is a separate extracurricular thing.
Yeah, it's not even extracurricular. The way I learned a lot about how it works, had a tour of the school yesterday. Funnily enough, rival high school, never been inside the confines of their building. But as you imagine, all guys, private Catholic school. So they're able to get creative with the curriculum. Apparently, every Wednesday in the 10:50 to 11:50 block, they have sort of free range to hop into a bunch of different clubs. Science, engineering, debate, and they have an investment club as well, which is who I spoke to yesterday. So it's the third time. Bitcoin 101, a lot of people are asking, what did you talk about? I focus on Bitcoin monetary aspects. It's actually heavily focused on the history of fiat.
What else would you be talking about?
We can like the technical details of the protocol and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I assumed it was a 101. I mean, it literally says Bitcoin 101 in the in the picture. You can see the slide. But I've taught a couple classes with you at Baruch, so I assume it was kind of similar to that.
Yes. Yes.
I have a wellness question for you. Is that a dungeon classroom with fluorescent lighting and no windows?
Yes, it was.
So can you do a wellness check on those children and try and get them some windows and some fresh air? You should bring a CO2 monitor next time you go. I wonder what their count was.
No, it was my comment on the way out. You need to get incandescent bulbs in here.
It's too bright. Windows.
There are. I mean, this was... I think there might have been windows in the back, but not very large ones. There was a lot of open windows in the hallways, and I think there were some other windows in other classrooms that I wasn't in.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they have some windows in the classroom. I would hope.
Yeah, it was inspiring though. The kids were very engaged, asking good questions. There was a few teachers who showed up too, priest. As well, priest came up and said, "I'm very good." And these kids don't know about money. And that was sort of the crux of the message I was trying to get through. I was like, hey, this is going to be a Bitcoin 101 lesson, but really the underlying lesson is we've broken the money. People don't understand what money is. And they're engaged. I see a lot of comments on X and Noster about people making fun of the kids for having similar haircuts and outfits. And give the kids some slack. Okay. They have haircuts. We all had our haircuts. You're on mute.
Yeah, I mean, there is actually like there's a decent amount of variety of haircuts in there too.
Yeah,
if you look, when you're a young boy, there's only so much variety. I don't feel like they all have the same haircut. It's an interesting critique. People are just having fun, but it's cool to see. It's cool to see. Incredibly optimistic on the younger generations.
I mean, I told you this, but one of the kids asked, he's like, I got a job. I get direct deposit. Is there any way I could direct deposit my paycheck to Bitcoin? I said, yeah, just download Strike. Took his phone out and did it right there. Yeah.
Do we have, they don't have ref codes, right?
I don't think Strike does, but try the code RHR. Strike that.
Just message support and just type RHR.
All right, moving on to the dashboard. As I mentioned, we are down about $7,000 from where we were last week when Matt was taking victory laps on all the bears out there. This week, the bears are taking victory laps because we are currently at $89,600. One cuck
fuck's going to get right.
One cuck fuck's going to get 116. That's worth a $1.79 trillion market cap. We are at block height 933,401. Which means we are seven blocks away from a difficulty retarget. We could have that as we are live on air. We will keep you abreast of the situation as it unfolds. It's looking like a negative 3.1% difficulty adjustment as of right now. Blocks been coming in at 10 minutes and 21 seconds. On average, since the last retarget, there are 7,017 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, we'll see that there are 41,898 transactions in their mempool. Last block was 7 minutes ago. Block before that was 54 minutes ago. So we have 47 minutes between block 933,401 and 933,400. That's the state of the network right now. Difficulty adjustment going lower. This will be the fifth downward adjustment of the last six difficulty adjustments, and the only upwards adjustment that we've had in the last six was relatively flat. It was up like 0.1%. So hash rate has been falling off the network. We talked about it a few weeks ago. There were rumors of another Chinese mining mem with some of the leftover hash rate that stayed within their borders after 2021. And then obviously a contributing factor, maybe not so much up to this point, but certainly moving forward as we go throughout the week, will be this winter storm in the United States. Weather affecting hash rate because a lot of miners are engaged in demand response programs. So it's cold weather and the weather, winter storms roll in. Demand for electricity on the grid is going to increase dramatically, and miners are going to be asked to respond by turning off their machines so that demand can be met with supply. And even if you're not in a demand response program officially, where you have to respond by curtailing your load, a lot of these miners will also look at the price of electricity, which will probably go up during this winter storm, and they'll just turn off independently because it's not profitable to mine with electricity prices where they will be. State of the network commentary on mining. You ready for this apocalyptic winter storm?
It's better to be prepared and hope for the best than not be. So, if you're not prepared already, I don't know what to tell you. You rush out, turn off the stream, and go rush out and prepare now.
Well, that's what my wife. In preparation, she's got the meals planned for the weekend and beginning of next week. She went to order pickup at Whole Foods and just smash bought the grocery list and didn't realize that pickup orders wouldn't be ready till Saturday. So she had to cancel the order and like go in person to get stuff.
Old school. She had to go the old fashioned way. Yeah, I mean, I had a neighbor buddy send me a picture of like the bed of his truck filled with bottled water and a generator. I was like, dude, you're like, you really waited till the last minute. Like, shout out you, but nice haul, but you should you should have done that a bit ago. But yeah, look, it's good. I think people should always if you are raising a family specifically, you should think about what are the essentials and always be prepared for it, regardless of what happens. And I think in the case of winter storms specifically, we do have the, it is nice that you have the benefit of basically like a week long warning ahead of time.
Yeah.
But I will say, moving from New York to Tennessee, tornadoes, man, no one warned me about tornadoes, and you get zero fucking warning about them, which is scary as hell. Yeah, food, heat. I really like, I mean, it's not, if you don't have one, I don't know how to, it's an expensive installation, but a fireplace or a wood stove is fucking clutch. Like, that is a huge hack. You can just go chop down a fucking tree and heat your home. Yeah. Clean water. Clean water is key. And some kind of power. Particularly if you're like me and you have freezers full of meat. Don't forget about the freezers, guys. Winter storms, you're good. You can just move it outside. Built-in freezer, but... you should have some kind of backup power for your freezers for non-winter storms.
Current thing. And we're seeing that comment on YouTube. And to the point, too, this is a great argument against electric stoves being mandated across the country. I think natural gas power stoves are able to save you if the power goes out. You can actually cook. With that, pull up the natural gas prices and to comment on Roach's 618's comment on current thing. That's the thing. Obviously, these models have been coming out over the last few days and they've been changing dramatically. And I think we can see that in the net gas prices. You see, they spiked all the way above 450 earlier this week when it was looking worse than it looks today. But
if you don't want to run a, if you don't want to run a gas line, or you're like renting and you can't run a gas line, barbecues are clutch. Well, I mean, I don't really like propane barbecues, but charcoal barbecues.
Outside. Do not bring them in your house. You got to be clear.
Do not. Disclosure. Do not use your barbecue inside and then sue us about it.
Yeah. All right. We looked at nat gas prices. That's a commodity. You know what another commodity is? Precious metals, gold. Still pumping. Silver, still pumping. I checked silver earlier today. It was at...
people get on Nasser got triggered that I keep posting this chart. Can you pull up the chart, Logan? This is a chart to watch, freaks. When you're wondering why sentiment is down in Bitcoin, even though we're flattish, it's because we're not flattish. We're dumping.
We are flat as of 2021. I believe it's 18, around 18.
Do the 10-year chart. The 10-year chart's kind of hurts.
I don't know.
Like, we barely topped 21.
I feel like this has to be a bottom, though. I mean, I'm just drawing red lines with my mouse on the screen right now. It looks like we're at critical support resistance.
So I posted this. I posted this on Noster, and just because, like, this is what I'm watching. It's the chart I'm watching. And John Arnold, our quant at 1031, posted his curved red line showing the bottom and upward trend. And so then I just immediately retweeted it on Noster, and that extra triggered people.
Look and pull it up. I think we're at resistance. I think we're
to be clear, at balance level here. To be clear, John was trolling me, and I was trolling him by retweeting it. 1031 is not making investment decisions based on his curved red line on the mobile screenshot of the gold chart.
Speak for yourself. I'm aping into Bitcoin here. No, it is. It's funny how this is a recurring theme this year. You know, the last 6 months, particularly gold, silver, screaming Bitcoin lacking relatively. But I don't know. I'm just like not. It's like, let the gold and silver bugs have a good year. This is literally what they felt like for the last 15 years. Let them have one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I'm happy for them, particularly the guys who've been stacking physical. You know, like if you're like, I don't know, if you're owning paper gold or whatever, like congratulations. The guys who have been stacking physical gold and silver, and have you seen like the copper guys now? It's just like bars and bars of copper, like, you know, respect. I respect the hustle. I hope you're enjoying it. But also at the same time, like that chart is if Bitcoin wins, that chart needs to reverse. Like it's Bitcoin versus gold. That's what it is. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they'll both, in a post Bitcoin world, gold will still exist. It will still have value. I think they're complementary to each other. Like I'm not saying it's going to obsolete gold. But what is like all the influencers, right? They all join the board of Bitcoin stocks that have no cash flow. And they all said Bitcoin is the hurdle rate. Well, gold is the hurdle rate. Like that is the reality of the situation here. And if we're not outperforming gold, then I don't know what we're doing.
I mean, it's having a long time scale. I mean, gold's approaching 5,000. This chart looks insane. I'll do a silver screenshot to share with you, Logan. Silver's over 96 right now.
The silver chart looks even worse for us. Go to that same website that I had the gold chart and switch it to silver, Logan. Someone was like, why didn't you post the silver one? Well, gold is Lindy. I feel like gold is the one we should measure against. But also the silver one was, it looked even worse. So.
Yeah. Oh, massive dumpage there.
Pretty bad.
Straight line down. What's happening? Is there a paper Bitcoin being?
But see, if you look at that, like the 2021 Bitcoin to silver chart, like 2021 versus today, we look better actually, but the dump looks harder.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. Stay humble and stack sats, guys.
One more comment on this. Let me pull up the tweet.
Still as bullish as ever. I haven't. The only gold I wear is jewelry.
I thought Grubles, our good friend Grubles, friend of the show, had a good, I mean, we were talking about the quantum, and a lot of people are like, oh, people aren't buying Bitcoin because of the quantum risk. That's why they're going into gold and silver. But I thought Grubles had a good point, because scientists who were trying to recreate the Big Bang accidentally made gold. And he said there is quite literally, this is objectively true, there's more progress instantiating gold molecules out of thin air than there is for quantum computers being able to attack Bitcoin. Read what I said a few times. Like if we're really worried about the sanctity of the scarce asset that is Bitcoin and the quantum risk that certainly does exist, but to the degree that it exists compared to the risk of being able to manufacture gold out of thin air, it's certainly higher for gold than it is for Bitcoin for those isolated risks. We made the bet too. So you think I'm going to win the bet?
No. Are you going to offer me a takeout right now or no?
No.
No. I had to like pull you into that bet, kicking and screaming a little bit. What was the bet? The bet was gold and silver all time highs this year. I think it's in the cards. I think it's doable.
Bitcoin all time high against gold and silver independently. Any one day, doesn't have to end the year.
Yeah, and you gave me 2-1.
Yeah.
Look, I'm bullish. Everyone's bearish. I'm bullish. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. Speaking of bullish, we're not a TA price pumping podcast here. We care about the tech, the freedom tech. And on that note, the Human Rights Foundation had an AI hack for freedom last week at Bitcoin Park Austin. They announced the winners. Number one came in Stringer Safety, Anjan Sundaram,
Anjan
journalist. Anjan, excuse me.
So I had Anjan on Dispatch. People should go listen to that episode if they haven't. It was a fun conversation. Me and him, I met him in 2021. He's awesome. He's trying to build OpenSats, but for journalism, for independent journalism. He himself has, you know, decades of experience doing war reporting and other really impressive independent journalism. But yeah, I mean, I think so we did this in partnership. The Bitcoin Park did this in partnership with HRF at Park Austin. I wasn't able to make it down there for it. But it seems like it was a massive success. Vibes were high, and basically they teamed up activists with developers, and they just vibe coded pretty cool projects. And it was, I guess it was a 24-hour hackathon. People like stayed all night, and I just think it's really cool.
Yeah, I caught up with Mark from Maple AI earlier this week, who participated. He said it was a very well done event.
Yeah, everyone was like super positive coming out of it. I mean, I think part of it was they had no sleep, but so they were probably a little bit delirious. But yeah, it's really fucking cool. Shows the, I mean, look, once again, theme of the show, the future's bright.
And as we're going to win, we're going to win. Callie is still hacking away on BitChat. Have we got any, I haven't heard anything out of Uganda. We got to check
Bobby's. Go to Bobby's X account.
So BitChat Sim is a simulated physical world for BitChat, testing a decentralized mesh-based messenger. Like BitChat is hard, like really, really hard. Predicting how design decisions will affect real-world behavior in larger crowds is vital, though. That is why I built a simulator. Started simulating people, simulate people that have devices that run a bare-bone abstract JavaScript version of the BitChat app. Their simulated device has Bluetooth that can scan for other peers of BitChat and establish connections and send relay packets. Making the mistake again, just starting reading and realizing it's longer than I thought. This is already pretty useful. I just want to move around these people, change their simulated phones, battery settings, their Bluetooth range, and more. I can test message propagation, packet routing, and adjust actual app parameters, but it gets way better. Walls, buildings, hills, all these affect how much Bluetooth signal travels from one person to another. In the simulation, the physical environment modulates the Bluetooth strength. Here you can see how the signal rather travels around the wall passing through it. People in the real world move, so I gave them basic pathfinding skills and put them in the city block using data from OpenStreetMaps. I can now see different environments and test crowds in them with just a few clicks. Here you see 140 simulated users around Times Square. Messages propagate through the entire square. It's pretty cool. This is like the polar for BitChat.
Yeah. I mean, love to see it. It's really hard to test it. So it makes sense that he would release a simulator.
You know how I know Bluetooth travels through walls?
How?
When I get in the car and it connects with my wife's phone and I jump into a conversation with her and her mother unexpectedly.
The UX of that is so bad. It's so bad. It's like clearly an example.
If you were talking shit on me, stop now, okay? I got in the car. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me now.
It's clearly example of a feature that like the people that are designing it don't actually use the product, because it would become immediately obvious to you that like that UX is fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of bad UX, Instagram banning Geyser. That's not great user experience, getting kicked off a platform.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. Sorry, I'm distracted. I'm looking up Bobby's Twitter because we were talking about Uganda. But then you just moved directions. And I was also just thinking about the horrible UX of the Bluetooth and vehicles. A lot of our focus has been when I'm talking about like Noster is like Noster versus X, right? And I think that's for two reasons, right? I think first of all, me and you don't really, I mean, I haven't used any social media besides Twitter for the last decade plus, And I think you're kind of similar on that front. I mean, we both built our businesses. We met through Twitter. So obviously we were like Twitter people. But I think the second piece is also Elon is out of all the tech CEOs, the big tech CEOs, the single best in terms of free speech and, you know, less control over the platform. So it works as a decent contrasting example, but the big bad enemy is Meta. Like it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's WhatsApp. They have billions of users. The company is worth $1.5 trillion. It's like an insane juggernaut. And there's a whole world that is just, I just don't even know exists. Like I haven't used Facebook. Like I said, I haven't used Facebook or Instagram for basically since I met my wife. So you get removed from Instagram and you lose such a massive amount of audience. It's pretty fucked up. Yeah. I guess that's my point. I'm like kind of just rambling.
What were they posting?
I like Geyser. Definitely nothing controversial. They don't post controversial shit.
Yeah. Maybe they have some terms of agreement about crowdfunding on their platform. No. Oh, wow. Bobby Wine, 5 hours ago. I'm not free. My home is still under siege and the criminal regime is trying to hunt me down. And yet, 3 out of my 4 deputy presidents are also in detention. My deputy president in northern Uganda, Dr. Lina Zadriga Waru, is still missing, having been abducted from her home on the 15th of January. My deputy president of western Uganda, the Honorable Jolly Jacqueline Tukamashaba, is still missing, having been abducted from Rukiga district on the 14th of January. My deputy president of central region, the Honorable Muwanga Kivumbi, was today arrested, and he's being currently held at Kira Division Police. As the persecution intensifies, may we remain rooted in hope and faith that our struggle, the Ugandan struggle, will end in victory. Damn. Doesn't look like went as expected over there, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, it's not surprising. It's unfortunate. Hopefully BitChat has helped at least somewhat in terms of communication.
Oh. That's the Uganda update for this week. Not looking good. Haven't heard anything out of Iran either. Seems like there was a pump fake on a U.S. attack on Iran last week.
Yeah. I mean, if it's going to happen, it'll happen over this weekend. Trump likes doing it when the markets are closed.
Yeah.
But I will say, I mean, it's pretty wild how effective Iran has been at, the Iranian government has been at cutting communications and preventing the wider world from seeing what's going on over there. I mean, it just goes to show how effective of a tool internet and communication censorship is for authoritarian governments.
Yeah. Heard an interesting theory about what happened with the pump fake of the U.S.
What?
Attack on Iran. Basically, it was the Trump administration trying to strong arm Lindsey Graham and Bibi Netanyahu by signaling that they're going to attack and basically cater to the desires of Israel specifically. So they backed out, and then Iran actually thought it was happening, so they scrambled moving key members of the regime, and it was basically just like a show of political force, like, hey, we're not going to do
it. That's what we...
And then also we're going to get some information on how Iran reacts to this stuff.
I mean, the scrambling part is something we talked about last week. I mean, I think the poly market bet too is part of that. That spiked it up to like 90% certainty. I mean, it's not even really a conspiracy, but my theory is the Israeli government and the U.S. government would rather the Iranian regime stay in place, but be weaker. Like, yeah, they don't actually want regime change. it's better to have a like a weak boogeyman that they know, that they can point to as being, you know, part of the axis of evil or whatever, than have actual regime change and have like the people storm the parliament, and they don't have a parliament, but you know, the people storm the government facilities and then do a democracy and see what happens. There's like a lot of opportunity for regional issues there if you're a government that just cares about that type of thing and doesn't actually care about human freedom.
Yeah.
So that's my theory. My theory is like the protests have actually been a little bit too effective. And if Israel and US strike in any kind of real way, then the government falls and then they don't know what comes next.
You get a vacuum of power and way more uncontrollable. We've got 35,000 sat zap from Sat Sorter. Budget yours zat sats with Sat Sorter. Paid up. I did see Soap Miner commenting that he couldn't zap. He was having trouble. His comment, hey, I heard a rumor, not sure if it's true or not. Did Trump use code RHR to get 10% off Greenland? I heard it through the grapevine. But he did. He did actually in the website where you buy Greenland. You put in code RHR.
There you go.
It was 10%.
Ride or die freak.
That's another thing. It's been a crazy week. Japanese yields screaming. U.S. Treasury yields going higher as well. A lot of people.
Yeah, what's going on with what's your? I know you're like neck deep in macro Twitter. What is your take on what is your AI slop TLDR of
Jesus Christ AI slop
JP Watt?
The impetus for the Japanese bond yields going higher was their prime minister. She basically said, hey, we're going to get rid of this 8% food tax, a sales tax on food that exists. And then I guess the other side of the aisle in Japan, the competing political party there said, all right, why just make this temporary? Let's make it permanent. And they presented a bill to make the elimination of the food tax permanent. And that basically signaled to the market, like, hey, they're going to decrease tax revenue when they have all this debt and their interest rates are going up. They're not going to be able to service it. And so yields went higher. And then that affected U.S. Treasury markets as well. Japanese yields drifted higher, making it more appealing to put money to work there. And that's why people are saying that U.S. rates went higher.
And our yields went higher, right?
Yeah, they were arbing the yield difference there.
I mean, I think the crazy thing, just like as an outside observer, is it's like everyone was like, oh, like Japanese yields went like crazy, like blah, blah. And then I looked at the charts, like 275 or something.
Yeah.
It's like, I would love to have a mortgage. I would love to have a mortgage at 275.
It would be great. It would be great. Somebody going through. But
if this is, I guess my point is if this is the panic, when it's still below 3%, like it could go way higher. Just the sky's a limit.
I recorded with a gentleman named Robert. He runs a YouTube channel. He's a Bitcoiner called Infronomics. And he's been covering this. And there is some nuance there. Everybody's looking at the 30-year, 40-year, 20-year Japanese government bonds. Like, look at how high they are. But if you actually look at the percentage of overall debt issued at those durations, it's relatively low, like below 6% or something like that. Wait,
they have 40-year Japanese bonds?
Yes.
Okay, so what? That's under 4% still.
Yeah, but they're not issuing.
It looks like it spiked a little bit above 4%.
Yeah,
that's crazy, dude. Can you imagine? Do you want to lend me money for 40 years at 4%? I would take it.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm more likely to pay you back than Japan is.
You are, but I'd rather put it in Bitcoin, which, if it's not going to zero, should have a significantly higher compound annual growth rate, if you will.
Don't forget, freaks, gold is the hurdle rate.
It is. What did you think of all the clips coming out of Davos?
I was watching the Elon...
Larry Fink.
Larry Fink interview before he went live.
Did you see a slip up there?
What?
Hey, if you believe in like Luciferian sort of Satanism, intergalactic cults, they have to be up front with you. They have to tell you the truth, what they're actually doing in person. Elon was asked about aliens. People ask, and he said, aliens are among us. Yeah. He said, I am one. They don't believe me. I guess, is Elon an alien? Yeah. I don't know.
Doubt.
Wouldn't surprise me. Doubt, but wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, he also had the Mel Brooks reference in the beginning that I thought was actually kind of funny.
Which one?
Did you see that one? Where he was Brian. Like, I was told that there was going to be a peace summit. And I had to ask, what type of peace? Is it going to be a piece of Greenland, a piece of Venezuela? I believe in peace.
I mean, the posturing from the administration, Lutnick, Bessent, and Trump specifically, they basically went there and said, hey, we're changing things up. We're not doing the globalist new world order. We're packing it in. We're going to grow, baby, grow. Come with us or get left behind. And it is funny, like having watched the reactions to all the speeches there, it is that phenomenon where people are watching the same screen but seeing two different movies, polar opposite reactions, depending on the political lens through which you view the world.
Well, fuck Davos and everything it stands for.
Right. What did you think of Brian Armstrong standing up to the French central bank head?
I did not see that. I have not been like, I haven't been Davos watching. What did Brian Armstrong do? Did he virtue signal about Bitcoin?
He did. He said Bitcoin more in 5 minutes than he has in the last 7 years, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But yeah, the head of the French
Central Bank. He tends to do that when he goes to Davos.
Yeah. The head of the French Central Bank was saying, like, we need central bankers. We need central banks to issue currency. Democracy depends on it. It's the will of the people. We need independent central banks. Specifically, Bitcoin is not that. And Brian was just like, yes, it is. It's actually more independent than central banks. And they need to compete. But I can only imagine the back dealing that's going there right now with the market structure bill with him in town.
I mean, yeah, that's like he virtue signals about Bitcoin and then he just wants to like dump shit coins on retail. Like that is his goal. But
that's do not be shocked if next week there's some breaking news about a breakthrough on the market structure bill. These people definitely were meeting behind the scenes while they were there.
I mean, on the Coinbase piece, like it's pretty, I mean, it's wild how much influence they have on particularly like the publicly traded Bitcoin treasury companies and the ETFs. Like they're such like, they've become like absolute critical infrastructure. Like I do wonder, it's so funny because like I probably was one of the first people, like early days of Sailor, to ask him about self custody because everyone shied away from that question, and it always devolves around like, oh, like Sailor's not going to like bury steel plates in like his backyard, like he's not going to like use a cold car, blah, blah. It's like that's not the point. The point isn't like, oh, MicroStrategy should like use a cold card and like roll their own multisig. It's at what point, like at how much value, how many billions of dollars of Bitcoin does it become worth it for them to spend like $50 million rolling their own custody company and doing their own custody and doing a bunch of other people's custody instead of trusting Brian Armstrong with it. And I feel like it makes too much sense. Like if you were him, if I was him, like I don't understand, the calculation there where he doesn't think it's worth it. If he's going to do anything in the Bitcoin space, might as well build like a first class institutional custody arm and then custody his own Bitcoin using it and others.
And we've seen Square, Block roll their own, obviously many others.
Coinbase
acquiring Paxos. Like,
yeah, imagine if Coinbase outsourced their custody, that would be retarded.
Yeah. And you think like it could add to the narrative, all right, we're securing our own Bitcoin, And not only that, we have this institutional custody service that we can offer others that provides revenue for the operating business so we can buy more Bitcoin. I don't know. I think it makes sense. Michael.
I mean, to be clear here, his excuse always, which had a decent amount of argument, I think, was that he'd rather buy Bitcoin. But now he's stacking dollars too. He's got billions of dollars on his balance sheet. Just like carve out like a humble $25-50 million. You don't even have to build it all in house. You can go and, you know, you can buy something and start from there.
Yeah. Let's see. I know we're pretty big show within the confines of Strategy's office. So you guys take it to heart, okay? Here's some advice from two gentlemen who care deeply about the security of your Bitcoin. Speaking of that, you can secure your Bitcoin, you can secure your future purchasing power by saving in Bitcoin. And this is going to be a trend that grows, but companies are going to attract employees by helping them stack sats. And Steak and Shake took a step in that direction. I almost said Steak Shack. I'm getting the two mixed up. Steak and Shake announced this week that they launched, well, they did this 8 months ago. Steak and Shake launched its burger to Bitcoin transformation. That's when they were buy burgers in Bitcoin. But they announced this week, you put the wrong tweet in here.
No, there's two tweets. No, there's two big announcements from Steak and Shake this week.
They increased their Bitcoin exposure by $10 million in notional value. They've created a self-sustaining system, growing same-store sales that grow the SBR. Improving food quality expands Steak and Shake's reach and leverages Bitcoin into a new, delicious dimension. Steak and Shake.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's two pieces here, right? First of all, I think it's incredibly cool to see a large nationwide cash flow positive profitable business using their profits to stack Bitcoin. They've also previously announced they're supporting open source development with 210 sats per Bitcoin order. That is going to open sats, which I'm pretty excited about. I think that's a pretty cool initiative. And then there's this next announcement that they made, which is that they're providing a Bitcoin bonus to all of their employees paid per hour. So hourly, basically hourly DCA powered by Fold into Bitcoin. And it's like, I just feel like there are some incredibly hardcore Bitcoiners over at Steak and Shake that have just like quickly showed the world what a cash flow positive, profitable Bitcoin business should look like and could look like. And they're just doing it. They're just doing things.
The way to do it. I think I saw Stoney quote tweeting the 21 cents per hour Bitcoin stacking for employees. And he was positing who is the turbo Bitcoin autist inside.
Exactly.
It's doing it the right way. This is the right way to do it. Small steps. Build up an SBR. Offer the ability to buy burgers at a discount with Bitcoin, sort of incorporate it that way, and then incentivize your employees with a long-term.
Make it, every employee becomes a Bitcoiner all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's 21 cents an hour. I also saw, I think it was Sean Yeager or somebody ran the numbers on the, like if you're a high schooler and you work like 3 years, work 3,000 hours or something like that, you hit the best for...
Well, like, think about it, like, what?
And it could be like 30 grand if, like, you work at Steak and Shake as a high school job. You just vest into that and then you hold it for 10 years. It could be like 30 grand once you're out of college.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, it's $8.50 DCA into Bitcoin a week, which is not, it's not nothing. I mean, presumably they're not getting paid that much. I imagine they can increase the amount. It's hard to decrease the amount after the fact. So yeah. They start with the meme number.
Make sure you use the code RHR when you go to Steak and Shake. You'll get an additional 10% off your
Yeah, when it doesn't work at the payment terminal, make sure you talk to the person and ask them why your code RHR isn't working. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. I think
future is bright. Future is bright.
I mean, Steve, you mix that in too with the tallow thing. The tallow piece is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell Greg Gee that, okay? Greg Gee's going to get a little perturbed. They should be using Gee, he'll say. For sure. Next up, we have the Bitcoin Park schedule on the list. Obviously, NEMS is going on right now, and as you may be able to tell, I am not there. The impending weather storm, the current thing, is too much of a risk to get stuck in Nashville for what probably would be the better part of a week. I was supposed to leave Saturday morning and couldn't find a reasonable flight back Friday night.
Yeah, we have a knack for, it seems like the worst week of winter weather in Nashville every week, every year is is Nashville Energy and Mining Summit at Bitcoin Park. But that also adds to the aura around it because you have to have real proof of work to show up. But bitcoinpark.com/schedule, this is something I've wanted for a while. Jack Lesser, who's been working with us at the park, he's fucking awesome. He vibe coded this. But yeah, now you have just a single, I think it came out great. Now you just have a single place where you can see all the events, all the activities that are happening at both Bitcoin Park Nashville and Bitcoin Park Austin on a nice little interactive calendar. You can just easily add it to your own calendar. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. I've just wanted it for a while. There's a lot, like there's an overwhelming amount of shit that goes on at the two Bitcoin Park campuses, and it's good to have it in one spot.
AI leading to incredible productivity. I was vibe coding this morning. I saw somebody post something and I tested it out, see if I could build it locally. It took me 10 minutes. Yeah. And I'm not going to spill the alpha, but we may have a new way to package content coming to you in the future. What else do we have here?
This is a super short list. It's like kind of a slow week, to be honest. I put this here. I didn't think we were going to get to it so quickly, but did you see this post that I made on Noster?
I didn't, but I'm looking at it now.
I mean, it's kind of wild. Like, I think people don't. So this is most populous cities in 2075. Like 95% of people would not get number one right. They would never guess number one.
Kinshasa.
Maybe if they live in Africa. But yeah, number one would be the Congo. It would be Kinshasa in Congo. 83 million people. I just think it's wild. I had like I was drinking with a buddy who shall go unnamed, and he posited this question to me. He said, okay, 2075, what are the top 10 most populous cities? And originally what I was going to do on RHR was I was going to make you start listing the top 10 that you thought, but you just would have been way off. I didn't want to.
Well, I'm going to throw a wrench.
You would have guessed. Yeah, go on.
Are these based? I mean, so I'm assuming that these projections are based off of current population numbers.
No, but the most important thing is they're based on current birth numbers. Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the sigh? Are you going to put Marty Jones? Marty Jones.
No, I actually kind of agree with that. But I saw American Huddle posted about that.
The 8 billion? Is there 8 billion? Logan, pull it up.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, there's like a Chinese activist that says like their population is actually half of what they say there is.
The third. So Chinese dissident claims, Logan, go to the tweet that's quoted here. It's not that long. It's actually 3 minutes. We don't have to watch the whole video. But yeah, she's claiming.
Don't want to. It's very clear. She just says it's 500 million people.
Under 500 million people in China. And this guy, Bonesaw MD,
He quote tweeted, I just pulled this up after an 8 billion search on X. There are not up to 8 billion people living in this world. A laughable and unserious belief, truly.
Yeah, I can prescribe to that. But I do think there's a shitload of people in India, and I think there's a shitload of people in Western Africa, and I think their birth rates are very high, and I think they should be proud of that. But if I was a betting man, which I happen to be, I'm not going to make a 50-year bet, but I think a lot of the largest cities in the world will be in Western Africa, which is kind of just a crazy thought. And I just think a lot of people don't think about it. Like you think of the super metropolises in Asia, right? You think of like the Tokyos, you think of the Hong Kongs, of the Singapores, you think of like Malaysia. But West Africa, man, West Africa is going to have some huge fucking populations.
I mean, Nigeria is like New Jersey of the world, right? Nigeria is the New Jersey of the world, most densely populated country.
What does that mean? Fair.
New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, Lagos. Yeah. So just for the audio freaks. So this was Maple AI. Okay. So obviously Maple AI using like known birth rates or whatever. I just asked to project 2075. Said one is Kinshasa in Congo, 83 million. Two is Mumbai, India, 67 million. So like that's, I think a lot of people would get that one on the list. Lagos, Nigeria is three with 65 million. Delhi, India, 57 million. Bangladesh, Dhaka, Bangladesh, 55 million. I'm definitely pronouncing all these wrong. Kolkata, India, 52 million. Then it goes back to Africa. Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, 49 million. Karachi, Pakistan, 47 million. Jakarta, Indonesia, that's also like I might have gotten that, 45 million. Nairobi, 44 million. But it's just something it's interesting from a Bitcoiner perspective, right? Because we always say like low time preference, think about it all, you know, you should be thinking in generations, not in decades. We just had there was an HRF event that I was at a couple of weeks ago, and the whole topic was Bitcoin in 2140, right? When the mining subsidy stops, where will Bitcoin be? Well, it's like, well, where's the world going to be in 2140? But like, 2140 is a little bit ridiculous, right? That's 120 years from now, but 50 years from now, what are the biggest cities going to be? I feel like it's a more tangible thought process to go down. And I think most people would probably be misplaced in their expectations there.
And I will, this isn't me. It's some person, makes a good point in the YouTube comments. You're asking an LLM to do math, which they're terrible.
So. Well, I mean, like should we do a 50-year bet? Do you want to do a 50-year bet?
Yeah, just to give me motivation to actually survive 50 years. To make sure I keep my heart pumping.
You're going to be old as fuck. We're going to be on our deathbed and we'd be like, pay up 100,000 sats.
My family doesn't
have the best
genes along, so I would like to make it to 80.
You should definitely take it with a grain of salt, but I think you should probably also operate under the expectations that some of the largest cities in the world will be in Western Africa.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta take a directional analysis from it.
I mean, Nigeria, like I said, it's the New Jersey of the world, most densely populated state. That makes sense to me. Country. What I want to bring up. Mention if you're on X, it's a streaming through the 1031 account. We've replied to that tweet with a giveaway for a cold card Q. Want to go retweet that? Get a free Q. Great machine. Make sure you use the code RHR if you don't win. Go pick one up.
It really is the best. There is no second best.
What else is going on?
I what is your opinion on the New York Stock Exchange tokenizing stock? I felt like the population of Nigeria was more relevant to Bitcoin than this story item, which is why I wasn't on the list. But someone asked about it in the comments. So what's your opinion?
I gave my opinion on July 16th, 2025. Logan, you can pull it up. Put it in the chat here. Noise of the cycle is going to be stablecoin fervor, real world asset tokenization, and a resurgence of blockchaining, all the things. And so, yeah, I think this hits one of those three noise factors that I pointed out in the middle of July of last year, real world asset tokenization. So,
yeah, I mean, look, the problem with real world assets, anything that is quote unquote a token tied to something that has real world value, it's not a native bearer instrument. You need a trusted third party to rely on to actually being, you know, maintaining the peg of your token to whatever the real world asset is. And the Bitcoin fixes that. That's what Bitcoin replaces. Like one of the key innovations of Bitcoin is that Bitcoin, the unit, is actually a native bearer token. Like you do not require a trusted third party to use it and to hold it and for it to accrue value over time. Real world assets obviously break that, and predecessors to Bitcoin, like Charm and eCash, relied on basically this real world asset concept, right? It was like a bank was holding dollars for you, and then you were able to use Charm and eCash. But at the end of the day, you had to trust banks to actually hold the dollars for you, which defeated the whole purpose. Now, there is some use cases where I think real world assets could be helpful, right? And specifically, let's use an example. We'll use Tether Gold as an example. With Tether Gold, you are trusting Tether. You are implicitly trusting Tether that they're holding gold in a bank vault somewhere. But if you accept that trust, then you can send Tether Gold around the world. You can buy burgers with it. You can send it to friends and family. You don't have to trust, you know, putting gold in the mail or whatever. And you get some additional utility on top of the gold in return for that trust. Now, this NYSE announcement of tokenizing stocks or whatever, they don't even include that part. Like, so not only are you trusting the New York Stock Exchange to maintain the peg that your Apple stock is actually what the token is, right? Like, if you have tokenized Apple stock, who is actually holding the Apple shares? And how do you know that there's actually Apple shares there? But like, you can't send it to a rival exchange and trade on the rival exchange or something, right? So like, I think there's a small piece there that actually could be helpful to people that are already going to be trading equities, right? Like, if you're already trading stocks, if you did have a token equivalent that you could transfer between competing exchanges and like move around maybe easier, then there's a significant improvement over like the status quo centralized ledgers or whatever that are being used. But this is not even including that aspect. They're just saying it's tokenized and you're still stuck in their centralized walled gardens.
Yeah. And I agree with you, like, to the extent if there is, like, I do believe there is potential for these to have massive benefits compared to the status quo. But the way that real world asset tokenization is being pitched, it's like you miss Bitcoin, you can get in on real world assets. So it's like, no, like, yes, there are some efficiencies and user experience gains that are made, but it's still nowhere in the ballpark or the realm of future return potential. Like, the way to make money off it is, like, you're still going to be buying stocks at the end of the day, and you're buying stocks to benefit from the cash flows and the profitability of those individual companies. You're still sort of beholden to the management and execution of those individual companies. Yes, being able to buy that stock and send that stock in a way that is has a better UX. Yeah, it does. It's certainly better than the status quo, but it's not like a step function improvement. It's going to lead to crazy increase in your stock portfolio because it exists. Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's there's a couple of pieces here, right? Because So like right now, like you buy Tesla and you like you open up the Schwab app, right? And you buy a couple shares of Tesla, right? Let's say they tokenized it, right? They tokenized the Tesla shares. And then so I'm buying a token in Schwab instead. If I could easily send that to Robinhood, I think that is actually an incremental benefit to the shareholder in question, right? Like I can just easily, I don't have to call someone up. I just literally just like paste, you know, some kind of crypto address into Schwab and it just sends to my Robinhood account and then I can trade there. Incremental benefit. Okay. I think there's some advantage there. That's not what they announced. Like yeah. That is not the benefit. Now, you could go a step further and I think it would be even significant benefit, even more significant benefit if I could then quote unquote self-custody that, which by the way is different than Bitcoin self-custody because Bitcoin self-custody you can hold without trusting a third party. This you're still trusting the third party. Like you can't really you can hold the keys to Tether, but like you're not really self-custodying it in the way Bitcoin is because at the end of the day, Tether could just freeze your account. But still, if you could pull self-custody and hold it yourself and then trade on like a no KYC P2P exchange or Tesla shares, that all of a sudden becomes, you know, a massive benefit to users. And they're never going to allow that. Allow you to trade with no KYC, not knowing your counterparty and just transfer like tokenized equities around. They're never going to let you do that. But that would probably be, that would be a significant benefit over the status quo.
I mean, this was always the view with Liquid, right? I think you can, I mean, they're not these.
No, so Liquid is a perfect example of this because Liquid invented a protocol for KYC tokenized assets. So if you want to like trade the different equities that are on Liquid, you have to do full KYC and your counterparty has to do full KYC and they track who gets it. So you're like using it kind of P2P, but the chain of custody is tracked pretty hard.
Yeah, but I think they call it. You'd be able to quote unquote custody your Tesla stock in an Aqua wallet or something like that if they were to enable the features.
Yeah. Which I don't think is like the hugest benefit. The bigger benefit is being able to move between brokerages or being able to do some kind of P2P stuff.
Yeah. But again, like this stuff, like we said, NYSE is not even doing it the right way. So it's a nothing burger. And even if the NYSE, the Texas Stock Exchange is getting launched, NASDAQ, whatever it may be, decided to do it the right way. Again, we've been through this before. If you go and you look at what they're essentially replacing is the DTCC at the end of the day with this infrastructure. And if you look at the revenue of the DTCC, I think the last new they had out there was in 2023. It was something like $3 billion. So like the total addressable market for extracting value by innovating in this space is minimal, I believe. I could be wrong, but just looking at the comps to this particular function, it's like it's pretty boring and there's not like great ways to extract value from it. But and it's being pitched that way to the bunch of institutional investors who want to ride a crypto wave. And again, bring it back to my point, like Bitcoin's TAM moving forward, even at a $1.8 trillion market cap, is there's way more upside potential for individual and institutional investors alike. So
I mean, I think it could, like, I don't pretend to understand exactly how all their backend system works. Like,
well, what they really want to do is whatever they cross collateralize all this stuff to take out loans. It's like really
the fundamentals like, of
a lending product at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can, the backend stuff is just so outdated. You know, like I'm sure whatever they're doing, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't fucking know. But there's lots of improvements that can be made that might use like a centralized ledger. And then the tokenized aspect is like their press release or whatever. And they significantly improve the counterparty risk scenarios of like whatever they're doing behind the scenes.
Yeah, between the wiring houses, like, the broker dealers and the DTCC. That's a whole shit show behind the scenes.
Yeah, but like don't like buy Chainlink because of this or whatever. Like you're right. Not gonna like accrue any value there. And don't be sold this idea that like it's improving shareholder freedom or whatever, because it's not. Like the actual shareholder experience isn't really changing.
Yeah. You know what is changing? The total amount of zaps we're getting this episode. Silent.link, 42,000 sats, RHR forever. Thank you, Silent Link. Soap Miner, 21,000 sats. I'm a stubborn bastard. Going to keep trying this till it goes through. It went through, buddy. Thank you. Hope you're feeling
better. Go to silent.link. Use code RHR. I don't think he actually has a code, but I use it for my eSIM. It's a great way. We were talking, actually, I thought about it after the fact. We were talking about which cell provider had an outage in the United States last week. Was it Verizon. Or T-Mobile? Yeah. Verizon. One of the cool things about silent.link is, so you pay, you get a BTC pay invoice, you pay it. You get an eSIM that you download to your phone. So instead of the physical SIM card, you have this digital SIM that just automatically loads onto your phone. Now, all of a sudden, you have data, right? It's prepaid data. Depending on the carrier you choose, the data changes cost. And depending on the country, you have different carriers to choose from. And then as you run out, you keep refilling it by just opening up a BTC pay invoice. Fantastic. Really just clean user experience, great service, reliable. But one of the really underrated aspects of it is you can choose your carrier on the fly. So like you could be using T-Mobile because it's the cheapest and maybe has the best coverage in your area. If T-Mobile goes down, you can literally just open your phone and switch to Verizon or switch to AT&T. Like, that is fucking awesome. So in these types of situations, like if you're worried about one of the carriers going down, Silent Link is actually a really great option for you. And I've seen this, by the way, it's not even just the carriers go down. I think I've talked about it in RHR in the past, but you go to like, if you go to like an NFL game, like in the stadium, like the cell tower can be overloaded, but sometimes it's just, if the majority of people there have Verizon or whatever, the Verizon tower is overloaded. You just switch to T-Mobile and then you have really great reception. You switch to AT&T and you have just like really great bandwidth. So it's just a good life hack. It works really well. Recommend.
The phones have made it very easy to sort of buy these eSIMs and turn them on.
Super simple. I cut you off. Did SoapMiner? SoapMiner zapped us.
SoapMiner did. He figured out how to zap. Great company as well.
Sans or Soapy.
He does have a RHR code, so go use it there.
Just always try code RHR.
Yeah, everywhere. Bitcoin Ranger, try it on your taxes. We might actually be able to give you 10% off your taxes this year through the IRS portal. Put it in. Bitcoin Ranger's at 21,000 sats. First ever Bitcoin treasure hunt happening in Buena Vista, Colorado next Saturday. One, people receive a small amount of Bitcoin. Two, people spend the Bitcoin at businesses who have agreed to participate. Three, spending Bitcoin at each business unlocks clues that lead to the Bitcoin treasure.
Oh, that's
onboarding
fun.
Businesses, I like that. And getting Bitcoin into the hands of as many people as possible. We'll open source and continue to build. It does sound fun. Hopefully it's just like a bunch of small breweries. You just make it like a bar hop. Bitcoin treasure hunt.
Yeah.
John Arnold.
I like that concept. It was a cool concept.
Thank you for your disrespectful zap.
What was the zap? I missed it. Oh. 210 sats. Don't spend it all in one place. Wow, fuck you. I gave him a friendly shout out earlier in the episode.
I mean, he's our quant. He's drawing red lines. Drawing red lines. People keep asking me to share the deck to this Bitcoin 101 lesson. I'm actually embarrassed to show it because I'm terrible at designing slideshows. It's just a bunch of pictures of currencies that have existed throughout history and some Federal Reserve.
When we did
the monetary base.
When we would do Baruch, it was, we had a, like, the Bitcoin 101 slide with both of her names. And then we would just open a web browser. It wasn't even a slide deck. It was just, we would just go from website to website. What are you?
I'll tell you after. I'll tell you after.
Okay, fair enough. What about, I mean, I think no one's asked you the real questions. Like, you're speaking at your rival high school. What about like the non-rival, like your actual high school?
My alma mater. The place where I was educated. I'm talking to people. I'm going to get in there too. My mom's like distraught. She's like, how have you not spoke at your alma mater yet? And because she's
I mean, it's she, pretty
still to this day, she's my mother is more caught up in the mix of the rivalry than my brother and I are these days. She's taking offense to the fact that I've spoken at my rival three times and I haven't been back to my alma mater.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be shameful.
It's not without effort. It's not without effort. I've offered the services, but I think admittedly I'm not getting to the right people. I just need to put in more effort on my end. I think my hair is turning gray. This is a big moment for the show.
Yeah. It's that gold chart.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. What do we got? Anything else? Anything in the Noster? Any questions? We got questions from the YouTube that we
have. We have to read shout outs before we wrap. That's for sure. And also I noticed someone, someone zapped 21,000 sats on our announcement of our time. And he said, great job, Chief White, 21,000 sats. Thank you, sir.
All right. And timely, we didn't have it in the notes because it wasn't released yet, but the Financial Freedom Report for this week was just released and we were asking questions about Iran and they have a section on Iran. Freedom tech surges amid historic protests as historic protests grip Iran. People are turning to freedom technologies to communicate, organize, and protect themselves from authoritarian repression. Downloads of the offline messaging app BitChat, which enables peer-to-peer communication without an internet connection, have more than tripled in Iran as people seek ways to circumvent the regime's internet shutdown. At the same time, Iranians are moving Bitcoin off exchanges and into self-custodial wallets with a sharp spike in withdrawals, concurrent with late 2025 protests and the January 26th internet blackout. According to reports from Chainalysis, this comes as the Iranian regime imposes a virtual lockdown following weeks of mass protests against currency collapse and the state corruption that began on December 28th. Human rights groups estimate that several thousand people were killed and more than 20,000 detained. In context, the Iranian regime is pairing financial collapse with total security control, internet blackouts, mass surveillance of phones, and militarized policing aimed at deterring protests through fear. It underscores that the uprising has not merely been suppressed. It has forced the state to expose how fragile its grip on the Iranian people has become. So that's an update on Iran. For more stories like this and others, make sure you sign up for the Financial Freedom Report at financialfreedomreport.org. It's .org, right? It's .org. It's not .com.
Yep.
Top zats from Rabbit Hole Recap, 392 approaching 400. Feds versus Fed. Evan, 44,444 sats. Thanks to everyone who supported our push for self-custody rights in Nebraska's legislator. The banking committee chair killed it immediately because cartels hate competition. Also, Mark Twain used the term suck eggs in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, 1876. So it's not just a Zoomer thing.
Boomer reference.
Big love from the podcasting 2.0 crowd this week. Bitcoin Hurler, 35,053 sats, palindrome boost. Hey, Marty, new year, new you. Quit going on about that lacrosse injury. Check out hurling. YouTube 2025 All-Ireland Hurling Final Highlights, Men's Game, Amateurs, Love of Parish, soon Citadel. Next time ye are in Ireland, you can play a game on my team. Make your boys proud. Bitcoin Hurler. I mean, love watching Hurler highlights, by the way. Number two, I haven't complained about my lacrosse injury in probably years. Yeah, I got a concussion. I don't bring it up that often.
You complained about last week?
No, I didn't. I don't recall. I've had six concussions. I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't be afraid to play hurling. The other injury, which was a basketball injury, which happened after my lacrosse injury, I tore all the ligaments in my left knee. I don't have any ligaments in my left knee. I can't really, no lateral movement in the left knee. So can't ski, can't do anything.
He's like a hippo freaks. If he's chasing you, you got to zigzag. Yeah.
It's an alligator. Yeah.
Break his ankles.
I won't be able to catch you.
An African told me that, but the hippo, like, they can run super fast.
I can get up to like 50 miles an hour.
You got to break their ankles. They can't turn though. You got to break their ankles. You got to keep zigzagging.
Same with gators.
Maybe next week we should let's just forget Bitcoin news. We'll just play Irish hurling and we'll just commentate. We could just like
but bring a
live reactions. Yeah. Live reactions to Irish hurling. I'm down.
I'm down for that. Orange Horizon.
By the way, on the suck eggs piece, apparently my wife told me that while my toddler was watching RHR, he was very excited that I was promoting eggs for people to eat.
Hey,
very pro eggs. So I just needed to reiterate, eggs are a superfood.
They are.
Stack some chickens and then you have infinite superfood.
I had some superfood this morning, every morning, at least a couple eggs. Orange Horizon, 21,000 sats. Kind of late to the game, but better late than never. By the time this is read out on the next show and after receiving much grief, we will be offering discount code RHR at the Orange Horizon web store. Do you see the monster you've created, guys? I do, and I love it. Instead of slapping toxic slop all over your body, check out our natural sunblock option, which comes in light, medium, and dark skin tints. We are Nostrum Bitcoin only business and proud to serve you as your personal as a personal request. Can we have a bit more Marty Jones next episode? That's why I got more Marty Jones. There's not 8 billion people on the planet. Stop suppressing like your alter ego. Like, let him
not him Marty Jones.
Let him have some airtime again. Orange Horizon, sunblock, natural. Use the code RHR. Orange Horizon, next time you zap, boost, whatever, make sure you leave a URL. I have no idea where to send people.
Just use code RHR. Maybe it's orangehorizon.com. Have you tried that?
You don't even have it on your profile description on Nostr. This is terrible marketing.
It's not orangehorizon.com. So, Marty, how many people do you think there actually are if it's not 8 billion?
Maybe half.
So how many Americans do you think there are? Are we – is that also – that's probably – because what is it? Is the official number 330 million adults?
330, 340, somewhere around there.
How many Americans? 348 million people is what they say in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, it seems like everybody's been coming here, so that number could be accurate. I don't know.
I mean, it lines up with, by the way, the conversation we were having about like people calculating Venezuela oil reserves and then realizing like it's just a completely adjusted number based off of Maduro's regime. And before that, Chavez. And they have an incredible incentive to overestimate that number, which I would say China and India definitely have an incentive to overestimate that number. But I would also say, I mean, India specifically probably has no idea how many people they have. Like, even if you ask Modi, like, he probably doesn't know.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about the Electoral College and districting and how it works in the United States, there is an incentive for people to juice numbers in particular parts of the country for political reasons, to get more representatives on the Hill.
Yeah, probably everyone has an incentive to juice numbers on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I also remember as like a young kid, like one of the original PSYOPs was overpopulation.
Yeah,
it was like everything was a symptom of the overpopulation, quote unquote, issue. So there's an incentive there.
Yeah. I don't know. 250. 250. That's what we have in America.
Oh, no. Really? But what about all the illegals that aren't counted in the 350?
They're all going back, brother. We're getting back down to 250. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe we're actually at about 350 because it's overestimated but then it doesn't include illegals.
Yeah.
So then it just kind of washes itself. I mean, I think the smaller the country, probably the harder it is to fake at scale, right? And I think most people, you do agree that China and India are the most populous countries, right? Like, we think that's directionally correct.
I think it's directionally correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can
like India, India supposedly,
there's like pictures China of like Indian cities. Like there's a lot of fucking people there.
Yeah. Just the trains alone. Of like, you see pictures of people hanging off the trains. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of people there. Yeah. That's a fun thought exercise to run down.
I don't know. Like maybe like 5 billion people, not 8. 4.5 or something.
I mean, if we just extrapolate the Chinese dissident, she's saying there's one third of the people that are reported to be there. I don't think there's one third of the global population. I was joking earlier. I do think the American numbers are probably around right.
I mean, she's probably also over. She's probably being provocative too, right? Like, it's probably more than 500 million Chinese.
Yeah, 5 billion.
There's like a happy middle ground somewhere there. Yeah. I mean, the real metric to look at is, why is this not loading?
Well, you're waiting for that to load. Shout out to Esme Horn, 21,000 sats. Thank you. Thank you. And Sean, 21,000 sats. Great rep. Thank you, Sean. Glad you're liking it.
I mean, the real metric is, I just pulled up our YouTube. Like, we only have 37 thumbs ups on this video. So, like,
yeah.
Where are the other 7 billion people? Numbers don't line up.
Yeah,
no wonder engagement's been down.
We just signed a syndication deal at Reuters. We should be live streaming everybody's house now. Part of that deal is that they would automatically like the video on behalf of the people watching.
Well, anyway, this is bullish for Nostr numbers. If there's significantly less people, they're not as bad as we thought they were.
Yeah. They're not that bad at all. They're not that bad at all. We're going to win. Future is bright. Something just dropped in the back of Matt's background.
I dropped an Allen key.
An Allen key? It's an Allen wrench, right? You call it an Allen key? Allen wrench.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I can't find it now. It's just like one of those L things. Yeah. What do you call those?
An Allen wrench.
Well.
This isn't me. It's some person. Great comments this week, sir or lady. We used to fearmonger overpopulation. Now we're fearmongering underpopulation. The truth may be somewhere in the middle. We're doing just fine. And control what you can control. Go have kids. That's what you can control.
Oh yeah, I had someone. So I posted the city thing with no comment. I like posting these things with no comment because then it's like a Rorschach test. So like I kind of got what I deserved. I like kind of expected it. But there was like a bunch of people on Nostr that were like, oh, like he's like pitching great replacement theory. Like, no. Just have more babies. Like I support Nigerians having babies. I support Danish people having babies. I support Americans having babies. Have more babies. Consider having more babies. It's a beautiful, exhausting experience.
Yeah. I can hear my baby crying in the background. It brings a nice little tickle to my heart. Okay. It's down there. All right. I gotta get going. I'm gonna do something at the top of the hour. Gonna refill my salt of the earth. Logan, pull up the new skin. Shout out to all of our sponsors here, CoinKite, Obscura, Salt of the Earth, and Stack. Go check them out. Thank you for supporting the show. You can get a free cue. Go retweet the thing.
Well, you know, you can't get it right every time.
Do it again.
We're gonna do more. You want me to do it again?
Yeah, do it again.
Love you all. Happy birthday, Sile. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love. Happy birthday, Sile. Okay.